Welcome to the Locked On Yankees podcast. I'm your host, Stacey Gatsoulias. I am an author of Baseball Prospectus. My work has appeared on the Hardball Times, ESPN.com, and even USA Today Sports Online. I recently started writing and editing here at Locked On Yankees, and this is my first foray into the podcasting world as a host. I've appeared on other podcasts as a co-host and a guest, but this is a new experience for me. So there may be some kinks to work out, but I promise I will improve as time goes on. And speaking of improving as time goes on, that is the complete opposite of what Sonny Gray has been doing his last few starts, specifically his last two, which were abysmal. There's no other way to describe them. He's just terrible. Anyway, against the Red Sox on June 30th, he lasted 2 1/3 innings, gave up 6 runs on 7 hits, and 4 of those runs came off the bat of Rafael Devers in the form of a grand slam. Even more troubling is that Devers had 2 strikes on him. In fact, every guy on the bases had 2 strikes on them. And to add the cherry to the top of this excrement sundae, there were also 2 outs on all of those guys. That is such a big problem for Gray. And, you know, some people were thinking, he pitches badly at home. It's against the Red Sox, and they're the best team in baseball, so maybe he'll do better his next start in Toronto. And Gray actually did have one of his best outings of the year in Toronto. Back on June 6th, he pitched 8 innings. 8. That seems like so long ago. So because of that, we thought that maybe he'll rebound. I didn't even think it was possible. But Gray pitched worse in Toronto than he did against Boston. This time, on Friday night, first game of the series, he lasted 2 innings, and he threw 62 pitches. 62 pitches in 2 innings. That is incredible. It's incredible. He gave up 5 runs on 6 hits. All 5 of those runs were scored in the second inning, and he gave up a 2-out, 2-run home run to Justin Smoke, who seems like he kills the Yankees every time he plays them. I had gone out to dinner on Saturday night for a friend's birthday, and another friend asked me, okay, what the hell happened to the Yankees last night? And I responded with, Sonny Gray happened. And she and her husband laughed. You know, they're not that into baseball. So I explained to them just how bad Gray's night was, and my friend shook her head, and then she also said, you know, I don't know that much about baseball, but I do know that 62 pitches in 2 innings is not good. So, I just don't know what to do with Sonny Gray. It's, you know, most people wanted the Yankees to skip his start, but they're not doing that. He is penciled in to pitch on Wednesday against Baltimore, and reports were saying that Larry Rothschild was working with him this past weekend. My question is, why did that take so long? It's not as if Gray is suddenly bad. He hasn't really been great this entire season. And in more startling news, the Yankees are 7-10 in games started by Gray. Let that number sink in to your head for a moment, okay? They have lost 10 games started by Sonny Gray. And I realize that not every game was Gray's fault. Sometimes the offense was quiet, but his last 2 starts are unacceptable for a guy who was thought of as the second or third starter in the rotation behind Severino and Tanaka when he was traded for last season. You know, CC Sabathia, he's having another, you know, good season. And he's doing it with pitches that don't reach the same velocity as Gray. And another issue that Gray has, I don't know if you guys noticed this, but when he starts dawdling on the mound and he doesn't work quickly, he loses it. When he pitches with a good pace and he's just pounding pitches into Romine's glove, he does so much better. So I don't know if this is a mental thing, because I am not a doctor. I can't diagnose anything. I don't know if it's a physical thing or a mechanical thing, but I really hope the Yankees solved his problems and he's okay by Wednesday, because Baltimore is the worst team in baseball and a loss to them would be really embarrassing. Moving on from bad stuff to good stuff, the All-Star Game rosters were announced on Sunday, and the Yankees have four guys heading to Washington, D.C. for the festivities, while Giancarlo Stanton is part of the American League's final vote. Aaron Judge and Luis Severino are heading to their second straight All-Star Game. This will be Aroldis Chapman's fifth All-Star appearance, but it'll be his first as a member of the American League squad. And in pretty exciting news, Gleyber Torres is heading down to Washington. What a year that kid is having. Now, I realize he's still rehabbing from his injury, but Aaron Boone said that a trainer would be heading down to D.C. with Torres, so he should be fine, and, you know, hopefully he won't re-aggravate his injury. But there's one thing about the All-Star break that's upsetting me a bit, and I can't even believe that it is, because usually it doesn't. I don't really care about the All-Star game that much, and I don't usually care about the other stuff. But the one thing I do like, I like the Home Run Derby. I can't help it. I think it's so great. I love watching the fans react to how hard these guys are hitting the ball and how far they're going. I like hearing the commentators, you know, freak out over 500-foot home runs. And it's just disappointing that Aaron Judge said that he wouldn't be participating in the Home Run Derby. I understand why, but it's still a bit of a bummer. And Stanton even said that if he's voted in the final vote, he would also not participate in the Derby. And while we're speaking of participation and participating, Bryce Harper was voted in by the fans as a starter for the National League team, even though he is having one of the worst seasons of his career and his batting average is hovering down around the Mendoza line. Ooh, poor Harper. You remember all those dream scenarios that everyone concocted about the Yankees getting Harper? And yeah, that's not looking so great. And remember when some people were predicting that he'd be the first $400 million man? I mean, I didn't think that was ever going to happen either, but it's definitely not happening now. I mean, he has time to turn it around. He's still young. But this is a bad season. And what's making it worse is Bryce Harper used to always be mentioned in tandem with Mike Trout, because they came up around the same time. They were both really young. They were both really good. But Mike Trout, believe it or not, is having one of the best years of his career. And when you think about Trout's career and you think about how many years he should have been voted MVP and wasn't, and that this year he may be better than he's been ever. It's just, he's an incredible player. I kind of hate that he's on the Angels, because they are not going anywhere. And I feel like he's being wasted on that team, and it's a shame. And I think he would help some other team do really well. And, you know, that's just kind of a shame. But, you know, he is just, he's amazing. And, you know, I hate when he does things against the Yankees, but when I watch him against other teams, I enjoy watching him. let's see. Oh, and, you know, remember, guys, the All-Star game doesn't count anymore. It is once again a true exhibition game that doesn't determine the fate of home field advantage in the World Series. Thank goodness, because that was kind of annoying. So everyone can just relax. They can fool around a little bit and goof off. I like when players do that. And I feel like this is their opportunity to do that. And, you know, I always think back to the 2002 game that ended in a tie, and with Bud Selig with that confused look on his face, and, you know, then deciding, oh, we're going to make these things count. and have it affect the World Series. It's ridiculous. So I'm glad it's back to what it used to be. Now, as I'm recording this, the Yankees have started their doubleheader against Baltimore. I have no idea how they're doing. They're 20 minutes into the first game. Sabathia started that first game, and Sessa will be starting the second game. And tomorrow, Tanaka will be back to pitch. Let's hope he's okay. And then Wednesday, as I said earlier, Gray will be starting that game to close out the series. So while we're talking about the Orioles, can I let you know how bad they are? Because I don't know if everyone's paying attention to just how bad the Orioles are this season. As of this recording, they are 24-65, and they are 37 games out of first place. 37 games out of first place on July 9th. That's incredible. I don't think they were expected to go anywhere this season, but I also don't think that anyone expected them to be this terrible. And because they're this terrible, they will be selling off their players before the trade deadline. They have to. They can't sit still and not do anything. And the biggest prize, obviously, is Manny Machado. And there were reports yesterday, Sunday, saying that at least seven teams were in on him, but that the front runner may actually be the Brewers. And that makes me think back to 10 years ago, when the Brewers made a very famous trade at the deadline and acquired C.C. Sabathia, who pretty much put the Brewers on his big, burly back down the stretch and led them to the playoffs. So maybe they're hoping for the same kind of magic with Machado, but I think he is not the answer alone. The Brewers also need pitching help, just like our Yankees need pitching help. And one of the guys that people mentioned as a possibility for the Yankees at the trade deadline was J.A. Happ. And he was on display this weekend against the Yankees, and he didn't do well. In fact, I would say that his start was Sonny Gray-esque. He only lasted 2 2/3 innings. He gave up 6 runs on 4 hits. And to make matters worse, he opened up the game giving up back-to-back home runs to Brett Gardner and Aaron Judge. And this wasn't out of nowhere. Happ also did not do well on July 1st against Detroit. Now, he lasted a lot longer. He was in the game for 5 2/3, but he couldn't stop the Tigers from scoring 7 runs on 10 hits, including a home run. Now, what's more troubling about Happ's last two starts, other than giving up all the runs and, you know, maybe not lasting as long as usual, he had 9 strikeouts combined in those last two outings. He struck out 4 Tigers, he struck out 5 Yankees. So far this season, Happ has had 9 starts with 8 or more strikeouts. So that's a bit troubling. But maybe he's just hit a rough patch, and maybe he'll snap out of it at some point. Time will tell. Speaking of time, I'm also out of time. But I do have one thing I'd like to talk about before I close this out. Can we discuss Jacoby Ellsbury? If you don't remember who that is, he sometimes plays in the outfield for the Yankees. He was given a ridiculous contract because the Yankees were responding to losing Robinson Cano, and that contract has now turned into one of the worst of all time. And most of us could have predicted this when he signed it, and most of us wonder what the hell the Yankees were even thinking, giving that many years and that much money to a guy who really only had one good season. I mean, it was a really good season, but it was an outlier, clearly. Ellsbury's been out this entire season, and it seems like every time he's close to coming back, he's injured another body part. He's hurt his back, he's hurt his oblique, he's hurt a hip, and now he's also battling plantar fasciitis, that really bad foot ailment that affects the bottom of your foot when you, it's really painful to walk on that, and I wouldn't wish it on anyone. I feel like Ellsbury should be the new model for the board game operation. Does that game even still exist? And do children even know what a board game is? That's what I picture, is him with all these different ailments marked on his body. And even if he does recover from this long list of injuries, where is he playing? The Yankees have an overabundance of outfielders, and they can't keep sending Clint Frazier down to AAA. That kid needs to play on a semi-regular basis, because if he plays more, he will do well. And, you know, Ellsbury also has to contend with Aaron Hicks, who's suddenly hitting like Babe Ruth, and Brett Gardner, who's also resurgent of late. You know, would some team take on Ellsbury as a reclamation project while the Yankees eat most of the money they owe him? Should we start a prayer circle and hope that happens? Maybe light a few candles, do some witchcraft, something? I mean, I don't have anything against Jacoby Ellsbury. He seems like a nice guy, but I don't think he has a place on the Yankees anymore. Anyway, that's it for me. If you want to get in touch with me or debate with me about some of the points I've made today, feel free to tweet me at StaceGotts on Twitter. That's spelled StaceGotts. Or leave a comment on the Locked On Yankees site. This has been the Locked On Yankees podcast, and I have been Stacey Gotsoulias. Have a good day.